day started.
Go ahead.
With the morning shift.
Time for the show.
The morning shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Area McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zeraz. Smart, lasting, clean. We've got some Falcons, Eagles prep to get to. But first, I want to tell you that we do have a giveaway going on. And later on in the show, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to Atlanta United's home match against Montreal on Wednesday, October 2nd at Mercedes-Benz Stadium at 7:30. So stay with us. I will tell you exactly when to call in. And in the meantime, if you want to try to get tickets, you can do so at atlutd.com. All right. We are all looking forward to wiping the slate clean with a Monday night football game for the Atlanta Falcons against the Eagles this coming week. And Kirk Cousins, we're kind of talking about it in the break. He has some experience facing an Eagles team. Isn't that right, Bo Morgan?
Yeah, he does. Like, he's played them a lot in his career. This will be the 12th time he's played the Eagles. And the thing I would say is probably the most important for Zach Robinson, Raheem Morris, and this Falcons team is the fact that he's played them each of the last 2 years. And just
That's huge, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he knows. Now, Tiff, you know that the defense with Gannon, when he was there, is different now than with Fangio.
Yes.
But he was there last year. He actually played phenomenally against them last year. He had Justin Jefferson, T.J. Hockenson, and Jordan Addison was still trying to get his footing, because both of the last two seasons he played them in September. But I would tell you that he went 31 of 44 for 364 yards and four touchdowns last year, and in a loss against the Eagles. Now, it didn't go so swimmingly in 2022 when he threw three interceptions and a touchdown, and they lost as well. But, you know, to me, guys, what I initially think about that is we saw what we didn't like in the game plan, or a game plan we didn't like, I guess I should say, against Pittsburgh for the Falcons offense. Will Zach rely on Kirk to kind of figure out things that has worked and not worked in the past against this Eagles defense?
I'd say he should. It doesn't make me confident that he will. And I think there are certain things when you look at personnel-wise that you can, you know, point to. And we've talked a ton this week about not running any play action. Now, it's the first time. You want to talk about Kirk Cousins' past. First time in his career he didn't run any play action in a game. Probably the first time in a lot of people's career that were involved in that, they haven't run any play action in a game. So, yeah, I mean, when you look at personnel and you look at different players, hey, this guy, I remember we beat him on a double move. Hey, this guy really, you know, was downhill in the run game. We ran play action on him. Hey, this guy, you know, his eyes were not in the right place on these bootlegs and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, I think personnel-wise, like you said, it's a different scheme, but personnel-wise, there's definitely things that you can do or from their past that Kirk could probably help out with.
So do they get back to that next week? And I know there were questions about Kirk Cousins' health, but Raheem Morris said, no, that was the game plan last week. You know, he's fine, right? So do we see Kirk Cousins that maybe we're more accustomed to seeing on Monday then?
Let me just
especially
tell you.
Now that the first game's out of the way, maybe if you did have any, and I'm not saying he did,
right,
any reservations about the injury or playing on it again, maybe all that's gone now.
If that's the game plan moving forward, I'm more concerned about his health coming out of it than I am going into it. Let me just put it that way. If you're not going to move him off the spot, I've seen so many like next gen statistics that have come out of this game that people are just kind of dumbfounded by. Like his average movement in the pocket was like, I don't know, I'm just making up this number, but it's like 2.5 yards. It's a full yard or 2 yards or whatever less than his, you know, career average of movement in the pocket. There's just so many things coming out of this, man, and we can kind of talk till we're blue in the face about what they think they should do, but I have no confidence right now for whatever reason. Maybe this is the doom and gloom in me. Maybe this is my one thing.
It's a little doomy and gloomy of you.
Yeah, I want somebody to talk me into the fact that they'll make the changes that I think are necessary, I guess, because I still find it shocking that last week that was the plan, and that's what I keep getting hung up on.
I find your non-optimism a little bit shocking, and the fact that you fight people.
Yeah,
but we learned that earlier in the show, so there's a lot that's been.
I've retired that. Okay?
Well, he's
scars on these knuckles are they're healed.
He's probably about to fight me. because I'm about to tell you something, Mike. And
sorry.
I was not happy with last week either. Okay.
All right.
What are you going to tell?
But you need to get over it.
Okay.
And now hear me out.
I thought you were going for the jugular and about something about the offensive line.
No, I wasn't going to call out the offensive line,
even though they were
beating the trenches. You need to get over it, and we all need to get over it, because if we continue to hark on this, what good is it doing us? We have to turn the page. I was as disappointed going home Sunday as I can remember being in a very long time from a Falcons game.
Yeah.
And I know that is the same for each and every Falcons fan out there that either tuned in wherever they were in the world. But the reality of the situation is we got our ass kicked. Got our ass kicked up front on both sides of the ball, and our coaching staff got their asses kicked. But guess what? If you think about how bad it was over and over again, and they're in Flowery Branch worried about how bad they got beat, it's going to happen again when we go to Philadelphia.
That was going to be my point, is we're trying to turn the page, but we keep letting last week seep in the process of turning the page.
Yeah.
And we got to see this. You got to see that Zach Ryman's going to say, you know what? I didn't move Kirk off the spot, and I saw him not move at times, but I also saw him move and roll out to his left and throw an accurate pass for a touchdown, and there was no issues.
Right.
I've got to dial up that Kirk Cousins, and whatever happens, happens.
Well, first of all, let me start with the offensive line thing, because I'm going to try to bring this to a level that everybody can kind of understand in terms of the way the offensive line looked. The offensive line was created here based off of Arthur Smith's offense, running wide zone and running play action pass. Right, you move the spot, you move the pocket, you put the quarterback on a run. You don't ask them to drop back 40 times. Bo, we've been doing the show a year and a half now, right? You've been in sports radio how long?
This is year 16.
Okay, so we host a show together. You've been in sports radio for 16 years. You know sports radio. You've been around it. You've practiced it. You've seen it. You've learned it. Whatever else, it's almost like if I had said, "Hey, Bo, I need you to moderate the debate last night." Yes, you're talking into a microphone, but you're not talking about the same things, right? It in practice, yes, maybe you are doing the same things and bringing up questions and pushing conversation, but it's not the same. And then somebody hits you after the debate last night and goes, man, you really sucked at moderating that debate. That's what this offensive line is dealing with. That's exactly what they're dealing with. You're not playing to their strengths. If you're asking Caleb McGarry to pass protect T.J. Watt 25 times a game or whatever it is. And that's the bottom line. And I'm not covering up for Caleb McGarry. He has to be better. He'd probably be the first one to tell you he has to be better.
Oh, yeah.
But you also have to play to his strengths, and you have to design an offense based on what these guys are good at. Don't try to turn them into something you think they should be or something you saw somebody else do. That's not what this group is. And to me, that's a massive weakness if we're going to move forward with that attitude in Flowery Branch.
I want to come back to that, but I want to hear Coach Morris, because this is the same offense they've been running for quite some time now.
You know, with Kirk being here, we've been doing the same thing since he's been here, and that's how we planned on playing, and we played that way throughout. We played that way for a minute, and we've done a bunch of different things in our case, and everything we're going to do is figuring out how to win this football game, and that was the plan, to go out there and win the football game.
We talked at the top of the show about how I was more mad yesterday than I was Monday or even Sunday, and I think that right there, that rhetoric, is exactly why. Because I just can't, for the life of me, I can't understand how with a week one game that was like the plan. That was the plan. Like, and look, we have to turn the page. I'm trying to do that. I'm slowly trying to, I have ideas in my head about what I want to see that means they've slightly turned the page or whatever else you want to call it. But the whole, you know, that was the plan all along, and that's what we wanted to do. I find like the alarm bells just are absolutely massive.
Well, I don't think that anyone thinks that Raheem Morris would be like, yeah, you know, I didn't realize that.
Agreed.
Was what we were doing.
Yep.
And I would have not okayed it. Well, then why didn't you decide to change it? Because you know you could have. I wonder why that was the plan all along. And that's where we go. But I can't just sit here and keep wondering. I have to start wondering about what they're going to do to neutralize Zach Bond. Because I don't know if you guys watched Friday, but Zach Bond was freaking everywhere. Dude had 2 sacks and 15 tackles against, you know, a good playoff team from last year. And how are you neutralizing like a guy like that in the middle? Because the thing about Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter and what makes them good is they're space eaters. And that you could honestly double team both of them. But that leaves a guy like Zach Bond free on Kirk Cousins. And if he's not moving, you're not moving him. How are you going to neutralize that?
Well, you have to make him pay for triggering early. And if you go back and look, and I know there's been a couple people on socials that have pointed this out. Patrick Queen, the middle linebacker for Pittsburgh, that came over from Baltimore. I mean, every time they are in pistol, he is downhill now. Now. Like, he's not worried about getting beat over the top. He's not worried about an RPO. He's not worried about a bootleg or covering the flat or anything else. He's in the B gap now. So if you want to neutralize the big guys in the middle, you make them move side to side. The only problem is that those linebackers like that are going to be triggering and running downhill, and it doesn't matter if you neutralize the big guys in the middle because those linebackers are going to be in the backfield. So it has to start with play action. And I know, I don't know what Kirk Cousins, if he can't run play action, he shouldn't be in the game. Point blank, last week. If he can't run a play action or fake a handoff out of the pistol, then there's no point in even talking any further.
Can we dispel this notion that you can't run play action from pistol?
No, it's ridiculous. You don't even have to move. You can basically turn in a circle and run play action out of pistol. I mean, seriously. It's dumbfounding.
More NFL headlines are on the way, and the Braves bounce back from being shut out. Stay with us here. This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Gone. Two-run homer, Sean Murphy. Atlanta is in double digits. That makes it 10-0.
Sean Murphy helping the Braves pile on the Nationals with Brandon Godden on the call there for Bally Sports as they go on to win that game 12-0, rebounding from being shut out in a two-hit game by the Reds the previous night. So, Braves now back to some winning ways. How long will it last? I don't know. But the shutout from the Reds and then shutting out the Nationals kind of maybe symbolic of what's been going on this whole season. You get the bad, then you get the good, and you wonder if it will kind of, I don't know, stay just good?
Just when I think I'm ready to turn the page, they suck me right back in with a 12-0 victory and an offense that just goes ham. Look, I'm gonna try to compartmentalize both those games, to be honest with you, because the truth lies somewhere in the middle. Right? I mean, they're not a team that's gonna win every night 12-0, and they're not gonna get shut out either. But I will say this: the guys that did hit last night are the ones you need to hit, right, moving forward. If this team is gonna make any run. The Sean Murphys, Orlando Arcias, and Michael Harris bats have got to be the ones that wake up, and that's exactly what you had last night. You can't lean on Ursula, and obviously Whit Merrifield goes down, but you can't lean on those names throughout the stretch run throughout the rest of September if you're going to make noise. You have to rely on the guys that have been there, the former All-Stars, and that's what you got. So it's funny because the highlights, 10-0, and you're, like me and Bo were talking about earlier, it's like, save some of that. Just hold on. Save some of that for later. And we'll see what we can get to, man. But good night last night, nonetheless.
Yeah, if you get 7-for-9 from your 3, 4, and 5 hitters every night with a couple of walks, what, like 3 walks thrown in there or whatever, you're going to win a lot of nights with the pitching staff we have. And it's funny because when Lopez goes down, my neighbor, Brissa, texts me and goes, did Lopez really go down? And I go, does it even matter at this point?
No, dude.
And then they roll off 12 runs.
We didn't even touch on the broken finger, yesterday very much. And it's just it is what it is. Like it just feels like it's Groundhog's Day sometimes. When you get these injury reports.
I mean, your hope is Lopez can get healthy if there is a postseason, and if not, then I guess Charlie Morton. If there was to be a 7-game series in a postseason, he just worked his way back into being that fourth starter in a 7-game series.
Let's go in the huddle.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close. Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
Within the huddle on the Morning Shift.
Let's start with some news out of the NFC South and the Carolina Panthers. They will be without Derek Brown, their defensive tackle, when they host the Chargers on Sunday. They have placed him on injured reserve after he suffered a knee injury and Sunday's opener in New Orleans. So that is a huge loss for this team. That's what Dave Canales, their head coach, said. He's definitely got some big shoes to fill, but he will be on IR now.
Before we talk about what this means for the division, okay, let me go down the compassionate player route and say, man, I hope he gets back on his feet. He's a generational talent. I hope that this is a guy that comes back fully healthy and continues his great career with the Carolina Panthers.
Where's okay, the Bo, butt? Now the floor you're like, okay,
maybe
you're
the
left.
Best interior defensive lineman in the NFC South.
Yeah, yes.
That said, Chris Lindstrom was pouring one out last night because he was like, well, don't got to play him twice this year. It was a torn meniscus, obviously, and I hate it for Derrick Brown. He's a local kid. I'm telling you, I would back up the Brinks truck to have that dude on this roster. And I love our defensive line. You know that right now. But I would back up the Brinks trucks for him.
He's a game changer.
That's how freaking good he is. And I don't like to see anyone get injured, but it does not bother me that I don't see him twice this season.
Yeah, and that's the caveat I want to start with was, like, it's not like we're cheering for this, but at the same time, you look at it and you look what this means for the Atlanta Falcons and those two matchups later this year. It's funny you say that, and I've told you this story before. You remember the 09 SEC Championship, we're headed in to play Florida again. They're ranked number one or two or whatever it was, and Carlos Dunlap gets arrested that week.
And he fell asleep.
And at no point was I celebrating him get arrested, but I thought to myself, boy, it's probably going to be really nice not to hit his head on Saturday. And
it's a little
he didn't
different play. Than being injured, but.
Yeah, is what? It?
Yeah.
I'm talking about just in terms of the matchups.
I'm saying in terms of why someone's out and what you're cheering for.
I remember
you
that.
You don't want anyone to get arrested.
No, I don't want either one of them to happen, to be honest with you. So.
You don't
want to
get arrested. Don't fall asleep at a stoplight. Were you at left guard then? Or,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
That was the matchup. Me and Carlos Dunlap, and he was not there anymore. So.
Well, what does the future hold for the 49ers and running back Christian McCaffrey? Head coach Kyle Shanahan said he is dealing with both a calf injury and Achilles tendonitis. So they are having to be, as Shanahan said, cautious about not allowing McCaffrey to aggravate the injury. That is significant.
Yeah, and Shanahan didn't really want to talk about it, Tiff. He was just kind of like, hey, you guys can ask Christian more about this. That,
yeah.
That Achilles tendonitis kind of thing is it's kind of one that would worry me a little bit. I think that you look at what they did last week with Jordan Mason running the football and how they ran it down. What I always thought was a pretty good defensive front's throat makes you feel a lot better and makes you feel like you have patience with this.
You know what's funny about this too is it's not funny, but you and I were talking.
Kind of ironic.
Yeah, it's ironic, and I think you and I were talking, I don't know if we were talking about fantasy or Vegas over-unders a couple of weeks ago, and you're talking about Christian McCaffrey's numbers from last year and, you know, how that there's some of the numbers are a little bit lower. And I'm like, the bottom line is, this is a guy who was fully healthy last year, and it seems like it was the first time he had been fully healthy the entire season in a really long time. So I think if you're a Niners fan and you're looking at it saying, hey, this is the other shoe that drops on Christian McCaffrey, then I'm fine with it. I'd rather it be this than something else down that stretch run. But nonetheless, that is a very, very good player that they will be missing possibly more than just week one. So and I don't blame him for not wanting to answer the questions either.
A
lot of caveats to that whole situation.
I mean, he said if it was a playoff game that he would be playing in it. He also was not asked during his press conference why they were not more transparent about that injury. Remember all that came out after the game. Okay, moving along here, your Cowboys, if some of your Cowboys fans out there.
I was looking around like who's Cowboys?
Nope. Not my Cowboys.
Day-day. Nope. Day-day, you Cowboys.
Those Cowboys fans are everywhere. All right. So, Dak Prescott, the contract, getting that deal done. It all took a very long time, and perhaps maybe throughout it all, some feelings might have been hurt during it, but apparently, according to Jerry Jones, that's all solved now.
I've never seen anybody get their feelings hurt enough that the money couldn't cure.
So, money cures all.
Put it on a shirt. Put it on a shirt.
You should put that on a shirt.
I expect nothing else from a Texas billionaire who made his money off oil. I think that's like the most on-brand thing I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. For all the people that love to rip Jerry, and I am one of them, I mean, he said some goofy things. Like when one time he was asked about a contract, he goes, well, I've been thinking about a lot in the shower. And he brought up, he said glory hole in a comment one time. I mean, which is a Texas oil, an old school Texas oil reference, but for all the weirdness that he's done, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard come out of his mouth.
And unless you've been under a rock, you know that Jerry was talking about signing Dak Prescott, them being able to agree to a record-setting $240 million contract extension.
Well-deserved, too. And it's funny that he played Deshaun that literally hours after it being announced and showed which one's actually worth the money and which one's not.
I'd love to know what the length of the contract was that Dak's people was asking for, because we talked about Diana Rossini, I think it was last week,
yeah.
And we talked about how she kind of reported that it was the length of the contract. I wonder if they were offering him like the 4 years, and he wanted 5 or 6, and then, you know, the numbers were kind of a little bit different. But, yeah, I'm with you, man. Money well spent. I'm a big Dak fan. I'm a big believer in Dak. And just because you don't win the Super Bowl every stinking year doesn't mean he's a great quarterback. So
like they're in the cover.
Kind of how I feel about it.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is considered one of the top five of all time. Am I wrong? And he's won it once. So, I mean, yeah, I think
Dallas is an entirely different beast.
That's true.
The city, the fandom, all of it. Hey, this hour brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. What you got for my...
Tiff, you already know it's Which One Wednesday. It's your favorite segment of the week. Favorite segment of the week. How about this one to piggyback on that last topic? Which one would you rather start a franchise with right now? Dak Prescott or CJ Stroud? Don't answer it. Coming up on the other side, it's Which One Wednesday. It's mic'd up. It's on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Mornings on The Game means more of the morning shift.
Nice.
The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Erie McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up.
On The Morning Shift.
Brought to you by the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event.
Hello. It is Mic'd Up. It's Which One Wednesday here on The Morning Shift. If you've never heard the way the game is played, I ask the decision. Tiff and Bo make the decision. It is a debate-style format. My man Dylon behind the glass will judge whose answers actually make more sense.
You know what
now,
to do.
Dylon, here's the thing. Tiff was victorious a week ago. I'm going to challenge Dylon. All right, to make sure that we don't let Bo's politician speak kind of edge into this thing, because he has tended recently to just make a lot of words and not a lot of good points. All right, so let's start there.
I'm here for it.
All right.
Just because you don't agree with my points doesn't mean they're not good points.
They're not points at all, is my point. They're just, you're just talking in circles. How about this one? If the Falcons were to go 2-2 over the next 4 weeks, all right, follow me. Falcons were to go 2-2 over the next 4 weeks, what would make you feel better? They beat the Eagles and the Chiefs, and they lose to the Bucs and the Saints? Or they lose to the Eagles and Chiefs, and they beat the Bucs and the Saints? Which one would make you feel better about the Atlanta Falcons moving forward? Bo, we'll start with you.
Well, what would make me feel better is being 2-2 with two games up on my division rivals, because, you know, you beat them. It counts as not only as basically counts as two losses. Not only do you beat them and you give them an L, but you also put yourself a leg up in the division as far as a tiebreaker with that team. Now, you want to obviously finish, but this is a tough, tough schedule to start.
All right, so.
And you want to win in division games to give yourself tiebreakers over those teams.
I understand the division is extremely important. I understand that. But you're also talking about beating the Eagles. You're also talking about beating the Chiefs and rebounding from an ugly loss to the Steelers. And so I feel like if you're going to take out the Chiefs, that is, you're talking about the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, how does that help you make the playoffs?
Not much has changed for them, right?
What does that do for you in the playoff race?
I understand what you're saying. I think it gives you some momentum. I think it gives you a ton of momentum as you move forward the rest of the season. And the fact that you were able to not only take down the Chiefs, but also the Eagles, too. Super Bowl teams.
Two really good teams.
Right?
Yeah. Two really good teams.
I think that speaks volumes.
I'll just take being 2-2 over
it's
the next
momentum.
Four after that.
Both, it's momentum.
Both very solid points. All right, how about this one? You're at football practice during training camp. All right, which one do you think you'd be better at? Would you be better at catching punts while being sprayed with a water hose, which is what they do nowadays? All right, or would you be better in a fumble drill on a slip and slide? Better at catching punts while being sprayed with a water hose, or a fumble drill on a slip and slide? Tip, we'll
I will
start
say,
with you.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say Bo would be better on the slip and slide because he's shorter and right. a little more, what's the word, like feisty is what you would say to describe like, people like Bo.
Like a,
and
like so, a badger.
Like yeah. a, come at you like a spider monkey. So I
Are
feel
we
like
supposed
he
to
would
answer
be
about our
that.
Opponent?
And then for me, us? Definitely punts. I feel okay. like I can handle that with ease. But
Tracking
I want to go ahead
here.
And just go ahead and, you know, give okay. you a little hat tip there, right. Bo.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I think Jeff's right. I'll be honest with you because you know why? Because I'm going to have a hell of a lot more fun going after a football on a slip and slide than having some clown spray me in my face with a water hose. And I am better at things I enjoy. So give me the slip and slide, baby. I'll lube this body all up.
You went too far. Too far. I don't need to hear all that. All right, who has more audacity? Somebody that hits up an ex for a favor, like a long-term ex for a favor, or somebody that hits up a never was for a favor, just a one-off date and you haven't talked to him in years. Which one is more audacious? Is it somebody, I have an ex-girlfriend. I dated for 2 years. Let me hit her up and see if I can ask her for something. Or is it like, dude, you're an acquaintance. I don't even know you. Which one has more audacity? Tiff, we'll start with
I'm going to – first, I was almost tempted to say the relationship one because it's like you're with someone for 2 years. It ended for probably whatever reason. Don't ever want to talk to them again.
Yeah.
But the fact that a one-off date decided to text me, call me, then text me, and hit me with the, hey, Tiff.
Hey, Tiff.
Can you do this for me? And I haven't spoken to you in 3 years and forgot that you existed. That is some audacity right there.
She was this close to going full on rock and saying, know your role and shut your mouth.
Like, well, who is this? I had to ask, who is this?
I tend to agree with her, but however, if you've treated someone you were in a relationship with like trash for however the duration of the relationship, whether it was 6 weeks or 6 years, and then you get a couple years down the road and you have the audacity to turn around and ask that person for something, ask them for kindness, when you treated them like you had nothing but hatred for them in your heart for years, how dare you, sir or ma'am?
Dylan, if I could just throw this into the mix, just sprinkle it in there. Not everything ends poorly, right? Maybe the relationship
Amicable.
Was a decent relationship.
Amicable.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something.
That's actually a valid point.
Let me tell you something.
Amicable.
The numbers bear out that most end poorly, all
most
right?
Most didn't end very well. All right, let me piggyback on that. Would you rather be asked for a favor of time or a favor of financial consequence? Time? Would you rather somebody ask you for a favor and give you time? Or say, hey, my kid's selling candy bars for Chorus. We need you to buy one. What you think, Tiff?
Financial, by far.
You're like, put the money in the plate, baby. Let me move on.
And we have some sort of relationship, then I will give you my time, which is sparingly this time of year. Yeah. So you want to hit me up for some cash? I will gladly.
Like, send the Venmo.
Bump that. Time, baby. You ain't getting in my pockets, all right? Let's just go ahead and go. I work my ass off for my money. I don't know what you're. How do I know you're using it for what you say you're using it? How do you know your kid's little fundraiser ain't a fraud? There are a lot of thieves out there these days running these scammers. I ain't about that.
Yeah.
I'll give you my time because I know.
You were just talking about breakups being mostly probably bad. I would say most child fundraisers are not fraudulent.
I'm not done. I don't know where it's going, but I know where my time is going, and I know that I can pull back. My effort, if I know that it's a misplaced venture
Sounds
that we're
crazy.
On.
All right,
Sounds
let's crazy. Do two quick ones really quick. All right, I'm going to challenge y'all here. How about this one, and I teased it. Would you rather start a franchise right now with Dak Prescott or C.J. Stroud? Dak Prescott or C.J. Stroud starting a franchise right now? Bo, we'll start with you.
Finally, I mean, she's only went 4 times in a row first. C.J. Stroud, he is phenomenal. The kid is coachable. He is a stud. He is young. And he's on a rookie deal. Give me C.J. Stroud all day long.
What do you think, Tiff? Rather start with Dak Prescott right now or C.J.? C.J. Stroud is all those things, but he's only started, 18 games? So
exactly. I will say, I do know how both of these young men are held in high regards in each of their locker rooms. That takes a lot for a rookie to come out and do that, like a C.J. Stroud walking into a locker room where you have veterans as well, being a youth. I will say, though, Dak, I don't believe, has been given a fair shake in Dallas with the fan-wise because they want to usher him out.
Yep.
So just because he already picked C.J. Stroud, then I will say Dak Prescott because I'm taking the veteran leadership. I am taking someone that's been to the playoffs. I'm taking someone that's probably getting a fresh start with me and a new lease on life.
All right, real quick, you guys got 10 seconds each, all right? If you were an AP poll voter, would you be the kind of person that drops somebody based on the eye test? Or would you be somebody that a win is a win, and if they win, they're staying where they're at in the AP poll? Drop somebody on the eye test, or a win is a win, they're staying where they're at. Bo, what do you think?
Well, I would understand that if I was an AP voter. It probably means I'm a writer, and I don't know what the hell I'm looking at most of the time anyways. Wins matter in college football. Win and you're in. It's been the formula for 100 years. Why are we trying to change it and let people who don't know what they're watching all of a sudden have the power to say they know what they're watching?
Oh, you just take a shot at writers?
Just catching strays out there. Just random writers catching strays.
Probably on a daily basis.
There's somewhere a writer going. Those radio hosts, they have no idea.
Exactly. They sit up there spouting off crazy things.
They write bad things about us.
I'm going with the win category because you need the wins to determine. Yeah.
Win is a win.
Yes, but also where, who the opponent was, all that factors into the win column, so not just the eye test.
All right, Dylan, what you got?
Tiffany, you battled Bo very tough, and I am very proud of you for your effort. However,
you are ridiculous.
However,
how in the world are you gonna? He didn't even give any points.
He gave a bunch of points.
You just fell for the politics.
I don't think I've ever been genuinely more dumbfounded.
Y'all hush, Dylan. This is ridiculous. Finish your sentence.
I'm walking out.
Tiffany, you battled hard, and you made some good points.
Won.
And you argued well against Bo.
I am just the host.
He was on his A game, just like the Atlanta Braves.
I thought she ran away with this one.
That's right. That's right. That's right, Dylan.
Your pockets? Is that what happened?
Right, no, he didn't. I thought he made a better point about the division the division is more important
Tiff.
Than the other
I thought
games.
You ran away with it, Tiff. I'll be honest.
Some time.
Man, I not even glory. Shot at Bo. I just didn't think it was close.
Regained by crown.
Whatever, clowns.
Reigning. Clowns. Defending. Right. Undisputed.
I was very impressed with your performance. This is one of your best.
You're dead to me. When we come back here on the morning shift, it is time for the wake-up call. If you want to give Dylan a wake-up call for picking Bo as the winner of Which One Wednesday, you can do just that. Or maybe you have some plans you would like to share for us of what the Falcons need to do to beat the Eagles. Lay it out for us. Give us a call, 404-726-0929. The wake-up call is next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You're trash, Dylan.